You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And the government saver, let her believe they get on her knees. They pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome. Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm overjoyed that our guest is here today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I warmly welcome all of you with a thankful and grateful heart. And we especially welcome our beloved guest today. Would you please introduce yourself to all of us?
Yes, my name is Dwayne Brayboy, and I'm Tuscarora from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, and I'm Bear Clan.
I'm really happy you're here. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
We are thankful and grateful all of the time in traditional tribal cultures. Gratitude is the only attitude worth having. Thankfulness and gratefulness, that's just a part of our prayers, our songs, our dances, the way we live our life. But for many people, there's a season and a holiday on the calendar called Thanksgiving, which reminds them to be grateful and thankful. So I'd love to talk about Thanksgiving and gratitude from a tribal perspective. What does gratitude mean to you?
Oh, I believe that gratitude is about being selfless and being grateful. Well, you know, gratitude, grateful, those are related. But it's acknowledging that something is not yours by nature, but yet you have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And honoring that accessibility to, you know, what is not ours, from our own selves, that is, I think, the root of gratitude there.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
For example, you know, the waters, you mm-hmm. know, of the world that mm-hmm. we Tuscarora give thanks to in our Thanksgiving address.
Mm-hmm.
Where would we be without water?
Right.
You know, and water is not ours, you know, intrinsically, you know, we aren't born, you know, a river, you know, but a river or a spring of water is a source of drinking water, and we need that to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So gratitude is honoring that which isn't ours like that. You know, the water doesn't belong to us, but, mm-hmm. you know, we take it and we consume it and it keeps us alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that if we don't honor those things, those sacred things in the world that we need to survive, like the water,
mm-hmm.
then we'll fall into a bad state.
Mm-hmm.
I think that ingratitude, you know, I think that across cultures, globally,
mm-hmm.
our antipodal relations on the other side of the world, I'm sure that they have beliefs about the same. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a common theme around the world, you know, to give thanks for these sacred things on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's ingratitude for these things, when we take them for granted, bad things happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well said. Absolutely true. And so let's talk about Thanksgiving, giving thanks. What does that mean to us as tribal people?
Oh, I think that it means honoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's honoring, again, those things that are sacred, that keep us alive, that without these things, you know, we wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so giving thanks is, it's necessary. In our worldview, in our way of mind, you know, it's necessary to give thanks for these sacred things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just feels like a very sacred exchange.
Yes.
We mm-hmm. breathe in the air. We drink the water. You know, we eat the fruit and food plants and such. And they sustain us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah. We give thanks for all that. You know, if we're thankful for life, then we have to be thankful for what supports life.
Yes. Yes. Oh, well said. Perfect. Perfect. And so what do we say to the folks who ask us, do you all celebrate Thanksgiving? Or how do you feel about Thanksgiving? And all they mean is a particular day on the calendar.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I've explained to people over the years when I get asked this by non-Native people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we celebrate Thanksgiving, the one on the calendar, because, you know, we know that that's what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell them, well, you know, some of us do because we were just raised doing that. You know, it's become like a cultural thing to acknowledge that
mm-hmm.
day as well. But that's not the only Thanksgiving that we have.
That's right.
You know, people in my family, you know, and Tuscaroras traditionally in general,
mm-hmm.
We have multiple Thanksgivings a
yes.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it was when I was being raised, you know, and
mm-hmm.
It was first nature to me. And I eventually noticed that my friends that weren't Native didn't have the same sort of customs, you know. They
right.
And so I just, as I grew up, I realized that this was some sort of a cultural difference between myself and non-Native friends. And that this was something that made us distinct or just different, you know. But for example, you know, we had family that moved up to Baltimore back in the 50s. And, you know, some came back and some stayed there. So, you know, one of my aunts stayed in Baltimore. And, you know, growing up, when Aunt Faye would come visit, you know, usually maybe every year or two, you know, they would be able to come down and stay for maybe a week or something. And so if they would, you know, when they would make that journey back to North Carolina to visit with family and all, if they arrived safely, you know, they had no problems, you know, no car problems, no accidents, you know, no body getting car sick or something, which people in my family don't, but, you know, just no issues whatsoever, you know, and they had a safe journey. We would have a Thanksgiving to give thanks to Creator for our family's safe journey back to North Carolina. You know, there was one time when a family member had a cancer scare and turns out that it was false. So, you know, we did some praying and during that time, burned some tobacco, you know, for our family member. And then when she went back to the doctors, she didn't have any signs of cancer.
Oh, wow.
And so they felt it was just a fluke or something. So we had a Thanksgiving for that, you know, and that was, I remember it was in the summertime because it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it being hot. It might have been like June or July. But we had a big Thanksgiving because my aunt had been, you know, spared this horrible cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
You know, so we had a Thanksgiving for that. And these are the sorts of things that we would have Thanksgivings for. And, you know, these sorts of feasts is, you know, what, you know, some people also call them, you know, feasts. And you know, we get together and you know, have a family time like this, you know. This is also traditional medicine to break badness, you know. Let me see. If there's something, you know, we pick up energy wherever we go. If somebody is carrying, you know, bad energy about them,
right?
You know, or someone's being targeted in the spirit world, you know, the antidote for that is love and family.
Yes.
You know, community. So having a feast is actually good medicine to break those sorts of things. So, and of course, at feasts, we give thanks at that time. You know, we give thanks to, you know, we would recite our Thanksgiving address at that time to give thanks to all these sacred things that keep us living. And if your listenership is interested, I could talk about our Thanksgiving address.
Oh, please do.
Okay. I feel like this is something that should be talked about, you know, at this time of year especially, because so many people, you know, even natives who say weren't raised with this, they were, you know, raised away from the community. They didn't have access to the longhouse. They didn't have access to these cultural things like reciting our Thanksgiving address in our language or in English even. And so sometimes, you know, people ask me, you know, well, what is the Thanksgiving address? And I say that, you know, in my people's language, we call it the Hakanahna Tetra, which literally means like the words before all else.
Beautiful.
And so, thank you. And I think so too. And it does make sense, you know, the words before all else. You know, this is what we're going to say first before we conduct business or before we feast or some such. You know, but I also tell those people that our Thanksgiving address is to give thanks to Creator for all these sacred things in the world that people so often take for granted. This is our way of acknowledging these things and letting Creator know that we're not taking them for granted, that we are giving thanks for them.
Right.
Because, again, this goes back to if, you know, we appear ungrateful for these things or take them for granted, they may be taken away from us. So it is important, I think, to always give thanks.
Yeah.
And so then with that, I can recite the Thanksgiving address for everybody.
Oh, what an honor. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I will recite it in both Tuscarora and in English. And to give people an idea of what it sounds like.
Yes, please.
Okay, so then. Una wagat hef, gogriho ye egihre genige rihwe. Una hesne nawe, twain yegwa witwe, detna ene agagwani. Eswati gehre gwasne genige digawa dagye. So now the time has come, the responsibility that's been given to me, from me, I'll issue all of our words, however far as it may be possible. Have patience with me in this matter. Now today, we gather ourselves together and give greetings and thanks to each other and to the rest of the people of the world. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Unahesna twant kat gehrad and was disne ne kini herata shegwa e ufne. Hananiofne kat nyegwati gehrutne una jagwati gehrad. Now so, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to our Mother Earth. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Unahesna twant kat gehrad and was disne ne kini herata twant ha awage hat ne apsnakya. Now so, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to all the waters of the earth. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. When a hesna twent got to gehrad and was dis ne kini herat as twent ha gijige hat ne u awa giv. Hananiochne kat ne guat to gehrutne una jaguat to gehrad. Now so we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to all the fish in the water. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twent gati gehrad en was disne ne kini herat es twent ha u yeche gehatne. Wat gayet naragu ha wisid agadachi. Hane niuchne katne guati gehrutne una jaguati gehrad. Now so, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to all the fruits. The strawberry was chosen to be the leader. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twen tegat gehrad ent was disne nea kini herat es twen ha u twehege hatne wat gayet naragu ha gagwetete agadachi hane hagera uchisre uta hetra disne ga chetwa. Now so, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to all the food plants. Our sustenance was chosen to be the leader, the corn, the bear beans, and squash. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twent got to gehrad and was disne ne kini herat es twent ha unikwat gehatne. Now so, we bring our minds together as one and give greetings and thanks to all the medicine plants. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twent got to gehrad, and was disne ne kini herat es twent ha garyu gehatne, wakoyet naragu ha akwe agadachi, ananiuchne katni guat to gehrutne, una jaguat to gehrad. Now so, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to the animal people. The deer was chosen to be the leader. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twent kat gehrad en was disne ne kini herat es twent ha uri ehke hatne wat gayet naragu ha gadehnu agadachi. Now so, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to the many kinds of trees. The cypress was chosen to be the leader. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twen tegat to gehrad en was disne ne kini herat es twen hajitne gehatne wat gayet naragu hastakwi'a agadachi. Now so, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to the many kinds of birds. The eagle was chosen to be the leader. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twent gat gehrad en was disne ne kini herat es hittak digaragya. Ananiochne kat ni guat digehrutne ona jaguat digehrad. Also, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to the four winds. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twente gata geharad entwas disne ne kini harata shiguariasud ge hatne hitne ge haga. Now so we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to our grandfathers, the Thunderers. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Now so we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to our elder brother, the sun. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twant gatigehrad, and was disne ne kini herates, yeguasu datet nyeha, hananiochne, hanya gwatigehrutne, ona chagwatigehrad. Now so we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to our grandmother moon. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twente gatigehrad, and was disne ne kini herates twent ha yutni sirara, we urichia give hot yet. Now so we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to the stars that move through the sky. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twente gatigehrad and was disne ne kini herates hetak diga gegwestak ya. Hananiochnek hotnia gwatigehrutne ona jagwatigehrad. Now so we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to the four beings. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una hesna twente gatigehrad and was disne ne kini herates harawadiahne tarecha hwakke. Now so, we bring our minds together as one as we give greetings and thanks to the Creator, the one who holds the sky. That's the way our minds should be. Now our minds are one. Una yeguatihu'e ha yeguawerasneshu. Una hatwenta witte yeguat nehak gwisar yeguariheg ar yeguit digehre neheg da awitte. Arehane twagayet. Now we have arrived at the place where we end all our words. Of all the things we have named, it was not our intention to leave anything out. If something was forgotten, we leave it to each individual to send such greetings and thanks in their own way, and now our minds are one.
Oh, Mado, Mado Mahi, a big thanks for the act of love in those good words. I am so grateful to you, and I'm so grateful for you, and I thank you for giving us this great gift of this Thanksgiving address.
You're very welcome. Kweyuhreje in our language, and it is good to share it. I feel like perhaps I've spoken about it before on this wonderful show, but I don't believe I have ever read the entire Tuscarora address. And so perhaps, you know, this is on an auspicious time to have spoken about it and maybe give the listenership an idea of what it is that we're talking about, that we give thanks for. Maybe it'll resonate with people, and maybe it won't. I know that there was an instance about 10 years ago where there was a Haudenosaunee person that had recited the Thanksgiving address, and I think that he might have been Mohawk. It was at a public event. And the response from some of the people, they were just baffled at the idea of giving thanks to these things. And these non-Native people were like, what in the world is that guy talking about? You know, and, you know, giving thanks to the fish, giving thanks to the trees, and, you know, and it really must be a cultural divide to know that there are people who can't see the merit in giving thanks for these things, that if they were removed from this person's life, they wouldn't be living the same way if they could survive at all. That's why it's important to give thanks.
All the time and in all things. And this great gift you've given us. I'm so thankful that you have shared this Thanksgiving address with us. You have always shared that, you know, the greatness of our tribal people and all tribal people is gratitude and thanksgiving and prayer and all that we do. And this Thanksgiving address is a powerful example of our grateful hearts and our thankful hearts. And what I hope is that all of our friends who are listening, no matter what culture you come from, you'll make your own Thanksgiving address, that you'll take time to be grateful and to be thankful, to give thanks. You know, it's so, there's always, 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 always something to be thankful for, to be grateful for, even if it's just that your eyes see and your ears hear, you know, the breath in your lungs, your family. My granddaddy used to say, we had a meeting one day, and everybody was talking about what was the greatest blessing ever given. And of course, everyone had an opinion, you know. And my granddaddy was real quiet. You know, he was a World War II veteran and D-Day veteran and all of that. And he said super quietly, he said, "Well, I'm thinking that getting where you're going, doing what you have to do, and getting back home safely, and finding that everybody is fine might just be the very biggest blessing there is." And everyone was speechless, you know. It went from winning the lottery or getting a new truck or something to realizing that there's a great power in just being able to say, "I'm fine. Everybody's fine.
Right.
Everything is fine." And I'm so grateful for this Thanksgiving address reminding us of that. I'm very, very thankful that you've reminded us that all of it is a gift, and it is to be celebrated with love and with gratitude. So, Mado, thank you for reading that and reciting that and sharing that with us.
Thank you. Thank you. And I actually have a little short story about how the Iroquois give thanks. If you'd like to hear that in English.
Oh, we'd love to hear that. In fact, that would be just wonderful.
Yeah, maybe I should have started with this, but I don't know. Here we are, and it's now.
Yeah.
So this is a quick story, a short story, about how the Iroquois, or Agunishani and Tuscarora, or Haudenosaunee, give thanks. The Iroquois children are a grateful people. The true Iroquois never rises after eating without saying Nyawe, which means "I am thankful." The others reply Nyoh, which means "it is well," or Wakwast and Tuscarora. The children never pick a flower without thinking how kind the Great Spirit has been to cause the flowers to grow. They like flowers, and no matter how poor the Indian cabin, flowers are always to be found near. When the Iroquois pick fruit, they give thanks to the Great Spirit, and always do. They leave some for the little brothers of the woods, the little people. They do not try to pick every cherry or berry or nut or apple for themselves. Fruits grow for the birds and the animals, as well as for men, and the little brothers of the woods must not be forgotten either. Some of everything that grows is left for them. During the spring and summer, the Iroquois give special Thanksgiving feasts. The first is clearly in the spring at maple sugar time. As soon as the sap begins to flow, the maple feast is called. The Indians gather around a large maple tree. A fire is lighted near, upon which one of their number sprinkles tobacco. As the smoke rises, a prayer of thanksgiving is made to the Great Spirit for causing the sweet waters of the maple to flow. Then the maple trees are thanked for their service to men, and protection is asked for the trees during the coming year. When the leaf of the dogwood is the size of a squirrel's ear, it is planting time. Then an Indian maiden goes into the fields and scatters a few grains of corn, asking the aid of the Great Spirit for the harvest. The Indian always plants his seed with the growing moon, that it may grow with the moon. The next feast is the strawberry feast and dance. The strawberry is one of the best gifts of the Great Spirit to his children. So greatly is it prized that it is thought to grow on the sky road that leads to the happy hunting ground. An Indian who has been very ill near death will say, "I almost ate strawberries." When the strawberry ripens, the children are happy. They sing their praises to the Great Spirit and dance with joy. They remember the little people and who have helped to make the berries beautiful. And they have a song of praise and dance of thanks for them as well. Without the help of the little people, the strawberries would not be so sweet and ripe. At the time of the harvest moon, the last feast of summer, this Thanksgiving feast lasts 4 days. The Indians not only give thanks for the ripening of the corn, but for every growing thing. Therefore, this feast is longer than others, since it takes some time to name all the good gifts of the Great Spirit to the children and to give thanks for all of them.
Oh, that's beautiful, Mado. That is gorgeous. I love that story. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for letting me tell it.
Oh, when we come back from our commercial, I hope that maybe you'll share other stories with us as well, and we will continue our celebration of thankful hearts, thanksgiving in our spirits, and gratitude in all we do. We'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio. The way it should be heard.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Oh, we are so happy and grateful and thankful for our guest today and to our guest today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Dwayne Brayboy, and I am Tuscarora from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, and I'm Bear Clan.
I'm so happy that you're here and for all you've shared with us today. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for today?
I am thankful today for the good people in my life. I'm realizing that the good people in my life, you know, how far I've come with the help of the good people in my life, you being one of them.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And so, you know, I am always grateful for that, but today especially, you know, and I am grateful, you know, I think every day I am grateful for the water. I was recently talking about this when somebody was seeming at odds with, you know, like, why would we give thanks for these things? You know, like, you just go to the kitchen sink and turn the water on and it's there, right? You know, and so I said to him, well, imagine if it wasn't there.
Right.
Imagine if you turned the water on and nothing came out. What if, like, say there's a natural disaster like Hurricane Helene Asheville?
That's right.
Where the people there didn't have water, you know, some don't have water still, I don't think. You know, it's been nearly a month or something. And so imagine if you had to go to a water source, a natural spring or a river, and carry back clean drinking water to your village, or to your home, you know, a half a mile away maybe. You know, imagine if you had to carry every drop of water that you used in your home instead of just turning your tap on. You would learn to be very thankful for water very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yes. So I'm, you know, while I am always grateful for all these things, you know, I think that, you know, water is one of them. Water was part of our, somewhat part of our religion or spirituality, so to speak, you know, because Tuscaroras in the old days, you know, we always arranged our villages near rivers in eastern North Carolina. You know, so that was one of the prerequisites for establishing a new Tuscarora village was, you know, we had to obviously have access to water for drinking and for transportation because, you know, while horse culture peoples out in the West, you know, they had horses to get around on. But, you know, here in North Carolina, we didn't have horses. We had rivers. They were our highway. So without the waters of the rivers, we wouldn't be going anywhere. We would have to, you know, walk wherever we went instead of being able to get by on rivers. So the water is so important in all these different ways like this, I think, all the time.
All the time. All the time. That's well said, and I'm so thankful that you're reminding us. You know, because if we're not reminded to be grateful, if we're not a person of grateful heart, it's very easy to become discontented and disgruntled. And then we are not walking in the way that we were created or the joy that we were created. And that reminds me of one of our stories, Shelu. The elders told it to me this way. My uncle, Jerry Wolf, beloved man of the Cherokees, taught me this story, and he taught me how to tell it. And it's called Shelu, our word for corn. Well, in the beginning, the elders tell me that the first man was very happy on the earth. He walked around all day with a song in his heart, and he ate the fruits and the berries, and he saw all of the mountains and the waters and the waterfalls and the rivers and the trees, and he visited with all of the animal people, the relatives that we have. And there was so much to learn because he was the first man, and the earth was so beautiful. And every day, he gave thanks, and he was grateful. He was grateful for the trees, and grateful for the water, and grateful for the animal relatives, and grateful for the skies, and grateful for the ground. But then, as time went on, he was not giving thanks anymore. He was not grateful in his heart, and there was no song on his lips. And he grew discontented. He became very unhappy. He was restless. He was bored. And when he became ungrateful and unthankful and restless and bored, he used his mind differently. He no longer had a good mind. He no longer had a thankful heart. He no longer saw things as good. He didn't see the animal people as his relatives or his friends anymore. And he used his strength differently. He shot arrows at the deer, even when he didn't need to, just for sport or something to do. He picked plants and left them on the ground and didn't use them wisely. He tore up the animals' dens, and he shot at the animals with his arrows just to see if he could do it. He put dirt in the water just to see what would happen. The animals were very troubled. They were very, very worried. And they called a council, which is always the best way to solve a problem or answer a question. In the circle, everyone is equal. No one is above anyone else or higher or better than anyone else. Or they are all equal, and all voices matter. And when everyone shares what they know in a council, my uncle taught me, then we might find the answers more easily. Because you only know what you know, and I only know what I know, but if we put it together, it becomes what we know. And so the animals called a council, and they called it by the river so that the fish that swim could hear. They called it in the forest so that the birds and the trees could be there. A good council has room for everybody. Well, they were very frustrated. The eagle, who is respected highly because he flies so high and sees so far, said, "This is very disappointing. This is tragic. This man is supposed to have respect for other creatures, for plants, for animals, for everyone, especially the earth." "Well, he doesn't," said the wolf. "I say we eat him." Wait, just a moment," said the bear. "I'm not particularly against eating anything or eating anyone, but there must be a better way." "Well, we need a better way fast," said the deer, "because he's shooting at us for no reason." "Well, he doesn't do any work," said the beaver. "He's lazy, and he just spends all his time roaming around. He certainly doesn't take care of the earth or the plants," said the beaver. "I work all the time, and he doesn't do any work at all."
The ladybug didn't say anything. She just cried. Well, I have an idea, said the hawk, also highly respected. Because he flies so high, sees so far, and is excellent at hunting, he's sacred to us. Well, the Creator made him, said the hawk. I say we go to the Creator and find out what to do with him. It's his creation. Let's ask Creator what to do. Everyone thought this was a good idea. It is always a good idea to call on the Creator at any time for any reason, but especially now. So they called on the Creator, and the owl said, you told us that this man had a mind and he's supposed to respect us. He's not doing it. I don't want to be rude, said the deer, and I don't want to say anything bad about your creation, but, you told us that the man would need to eat more deer than any other animal, and so if he keeps on, shooting arrows at us like he is now, well, pretty soon there won't be any deer left. Oh, said the Creator. Well, thank you. Thank you, little relatives. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I'm sorry to hear this about this first man. I mean, just look at him, said the bear. He's just lazy. He's laying out in the sun with his face up. He doesn't even have enough sense to go in a den and rest away from danger. Said the great one. Well, I was in a great hurry to make him and very excited about him. Perhaps he needs some help. Stand over there, he told the animals. And all the animals backed away slowly, very slowly, very slowly. And the Creator made a green plant that grew up tall. The plant grew up right over the man's heart, up toward Galilavi, or heaven. It was a plant with long and graceful leaves, and then it had an ear, a golden tassel. And above the tall plant was a woman. Oh, a beautiful, woe-do-he woman. A beautiful woman, brown and warm and tall and graceful. This beautiful woman was growing from the stalk of strong corn. The first man woke up and thought he might be dreaming. He rubbed his eyes and he said, This can't be true. This is the most beautiful, woe-do-he thing I have ever seen in all of my life. Oh, I hope it's true. Otherwise, when I stop dreaming, I'm just going to be bored and lonely and useless again. The Creator sighed. Oh, get up, he said. Get up and be a husband to your new wife. Now, this man had not been acting the way a good husband would act. He had not been acting like a person with manners. He was acting like a person who had no ears and could not listen, and he was not acting like a person who knew what to do. He was not acting like Anayunwea or real human beings should act. But, you know, we don't need to be lectured on how to act. We just need someone who loves us and cares about us and expects the very best out of us. And then the best that the Creator has already put in our hearts, manners, wisdom, knowledge, joy, kindness, goodness, self-control, will all rise up in us, and we can use it. So that man got up and straightened himself up, and he reached out to his beautiful brown-skinned bride. He offered her his hand. Oh, he was being a gentleman. And he tried to help her down from the stalk of corn. Wait just a minute, said the wife. The man didn't argue or fuss with his new bride. He just smiled at her and waited. And then she reached up and pulled two good ears of corn to take with her. Then she said, "I'm ready." Do you know why she wanted that corn? Well, as her husband helped her down from that large, tall stalk, she carried some golden, beautiful corn with her. She didn't know yet that corn would be an important food and that all of us would need to eat corn to survive. She just knew that she had sprung up from that corn. Creator created her as part of that corn, and she needed to take the corn with her into her new life as a marriage gift. And so, the Creator knew that that man was not just alone, but lonely. And so he created a beautiful, capable, virtuous, gracious, hardworking wife for him. But most of all, she was wise because she brought some corn with her. And that man and that woman built a home and put the corn in it, and they kept it for planting. The next year, the next spring, when it is a good time for planting and growing things, she planted her corn, and it sprung up tall into a magnificent stalk of a corn plant. It was so beautiful and radiant, and there was plenty of corn. She noticed a large bird watching that corn. And that corn would be very important to all kinds of animal relatives and bird relatives, as well as people who need to eat corn. One morning, the woman noticed that there was a large bird who had been watching her as she planted the corn and as the corn grew. The turkey was eating the tender corn. We talk about turkeys a lot at Thanksgiving, but they roam wild in the forest. And she knew then that the corn was good food, because what the turkey ate, just like what the bears eat, people can eat. If you follow a bear, we don't recommend that, but if you watch a bear and you watch the turkeys, you will find that what they eat, most people, many people can eat. And so the turkey was eating the tender corn, and she knew that the corn was food that was good to eat, and this was the time to eat the corn. And so that night, she took one of her pottery pots that she had made with her own hands from good clay, and she set it in the middle of her fire. She covered that pot with chestnut bark, and she cooked. There was corn in that pot, and it became tender and moist and good for food. Her husband came in. He had been out fishing. No more laziness for him. He was fishing, and he caught some good fish. And so he thought they would have fish and stew. But his wife surprised him. She pulled out an ear of corn from the pot, and she showed it to him. And then he could smell it. Oh, and the smell of that good corn filled the entire room. Oh, he thought it was the very best thing he had ever smelled, second best only to the beautiful scent of his wife. And so they sat down, and they had their own feast. They ate the first corn of the spring. It was sweet, and it was good. And now to this day, in Echota families, the first corn of the season is always a surprise. The women never tell when we're going to cook it and when we're going to serve it. Everyone just knows it's about that time, and they become excited to have the first corn of the spring. That's a feast. And they give thanks. We all have grateful hearts, and we enjoy that corn and the story of Shelu. That's the way the elders told me this story, and I hope you enjoyed it.
That's a wonderful story. I love that story. I've never heard that before. That is wonderful.
Oh, well, I love
that
you
love it. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, I love that you love it. It actually came up in my heart while you were giving the Thanksgiving address. I remembered my Uncle Jerry teaching it to me, and I don't know that I've ever really told it before publicly. I know I've never told it on the air, and so while you were giving the Thanksgiving address, it just came up in my spirit, and I remembered that story and the way that he taught me to tell it.
Well, you tell it beautifully.
Thank you. That means everything coming from you. And I'm very grateful for you helping me to remember it. I have loved every minute of this conversation. I absolutely love it. And I would be just so honored if you would close us out with some of your thoughts or your good words.
Well, maybe next time I will tell this story as well, but there is this other story that if we had time, I was going to tell, but we'll
tell
save
it. Tell it. We'll make time. Tell it.
No.
we want to hear
it. Okay. It's a little bit longer. It is. I promise we'll do this. We'll do this next soon, actually.
Yeah, you know? Right.
But it's
very soon.
In the interest of giving thanks, mm-hmm. It's a story about being thankful for yourself and who you are and accepting yourself as you are, thanking yourself. So I would like to leave everybody with that as well. You know, while it's our way and we should always give thanks to these sacred things in the world that we couldn't survive without, like the winds and the waters and the food plants and such, you know, all these sacred things, you know, we do give thanks to all the people of the world, but in that giving thanks to the people of the world, don't forget to include yourself. You are enough. And you are loved. And don't forget to love yourself.
Well said. I'm always grateful and thankful every time you're here with us. I'm already looking forward to when you come back very soon. And I'm so thankful that you were here to celebrate Thanksgiving every day with us.
Thank you for having me here. It's been great.
We love you very much. And we are always thankful for you and grateful for you and grateful to you and thankful to you. We really are, and we thank the Creator for you and what you mean to our lives and our family. We are so thankful.
Thank you so much for saying so. I feel the same towards all of you. Love to all of you.
We are so thankful you joined us today, all of our friends who listen, 160 countries, all 50 states of the United States, and the provinces of Canada as well. We are so grateful for you. We're so thankful for you. Every day, we don't need a day on the calendar to let you know that we appreciate you. We appreciate our platforms, our sponsors, our donors, everyone who helps us to bring you these conversations and to have these wonderful times together. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I already can't wait until we're all together next time. I'll see you then.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray hard, they pray hard. They never look back once the world forgave you.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, they pray hard. It never looked bad once the world forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.